The person who loves God must also love other believers. Now, the Bible has a word for this, too. It's called fellowship. You might write that down. Fellowship is simply connecting with other believers. And the Bible says this: be devoted to each other like a loving family. The Bible says you're members of God's very own family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian.
Pastor Rick Warren often says you were made by God and for God. And until you understand that, life will never make sense. Welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today in our series called God's Vision for the Rest of Your Life, Rick continues in his effort to help you discover the unique purpose and vision that the Lord has for your life. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about an amazing opportunity to come alongside this ministry in our efforts to see lives change through the gospel. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to the message. That's PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 99000. That's the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Why You Need a Church Family.
1979, I was finishing seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. I just finished my master's degree, and I felt like God was saying, I want you to go start a new church. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. And I'll go anywhere in the whole world that you want me to. But I just ask you for the privilege of spending my entire life in one location. That's all I ask. Just let me stay in one church for life. So I got out a map of the world and began praying about the whole world. And we prayed for about 6 months, and to make a long story short, we finally zoned in on Orange County. Now, I was going to a Baptist seminary in Texas, and so I got a name somehow of a guy who was like a regional leader of churches in Orange County, and his name was Herman Wooten. I wrote him a letter, and it said, Dear Mr. Wooten, my name's Rick Warren. I'm a seminary student. I'm thinking about starting a new church. And I'm feeling strangely drawn to come to the Saddleback Valley. I'm not asking for your support or any money. I just want to know, what do you think of that area? Because I'd never seen it. And interestingly enough, somehow this guy had heard about me. And he wrote me a letter, and it said, Dear Mr. Warren, I've heard that you're graduating from seminary. I have heard that you're interested in starting a new church. Have you ever considered a place called the Saddleback Valley? And our letters crossed in the mail. And I'm going, okay, something's up. Now, it was a great idea. There are only a few problems. First, I had never been a senior pastor. Second, I had never been to the Saddleback Valley. Third, I had no money, no members, and no building. Outside of that, things were great. So Kay and I, in January of 1980, decided that we would move here on faith, and being wealthy seminary students, we packed up everything in a U-Haul truck and moved across to Southern California. Now, we got here about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, coming in on 91 freeway. Amy was 4 months old at the time, and we were just, you know, a young couple, 25 years old. Now, you need to understand that I grew up in a town of less than 500 people. I'm a country boy. And when I saw the traffic jam on 91 freeway coming in, I looked around and said, God, you got the wrong guy. But we pulled down into the Saddleback Valley about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I got off at the El Toro off-ramp, found the first real estate office I could find, and I walked in and I met a guy named Don Dale. I said, my name is Rick Warren. I'm 25 years old. I'm here to start a church. I need a place to live, and I don't have any money. And he did what you just did. He started laughing. And, you know, we didn't even have any money for the first night for a motel. We were actually going to spend the night in the truck. We were that broke. Well, Don, to make the story short, found us a condo over in Laguna Hills. And within 2 hours, we had signed the papers on it. We had started moving in. He got us no deposit down and the first month rent free. And that man became the first member of Saddleback Church. as we were driving to the condo, I said, "Hey, Don, you go to church anywhere?" And he said, "No." I go, "You're my first member." And so we started a week later in my little condo, the seven of us, my wife and I and Amy, our little daughter, 4-month-old, Don, his wife, and his little girl, and one other person. I then went out and spent the next 12 weeks just talking to people. I went door to door for 12 weeks. And I took a little clip pad, notepad with me, and I said, I'd knock on the door and I'd say, "Are you an active member of any church?" And if they said yes, I said, "Great, God bless you, keep going there." And frankly, I wasn't interested in the opinion of Christians. So when I'd find somebody who said, "No, I don't go anywhere," I said, "Perfect, you're just the kind of person I want to talk to." I said, I'm not going to sell you anything. I'm not here to convert you. I'm not here to invite you anything. I just want to know your opinion. And I asked some questions like, "What do you think is the greatest need in this area? Why do you think most people don't attend church? If you were looking for a church, what kind of things would you look for since, you know, you don't go to church? What advice would you give to me as a pastor who really wants to help the community?" And I just listened. And after 12 weeks of listening to people, I decided, let's be a church for people who hate church. People who would never be caught dead in a traditional church. And so what I did is I wrote an open letter to the community. And the first line of it said, "At last, a new church for people who've given up on traditional churches." And that little Bible study group had grown from my wife and I to about 15 people. And we hand-addressed and hand-stamped 15,000 letters and mailed them out 10 days before Easter and planned our first service at Laguna Hills High School. Then I said, "I'm going to take the 15 of you down to the high school a week in advance and we're going to do a dress rehearsal. So next week when people show up at Easter, it looks like we know what we're doing. You know, we'll have 1 week practice." So we took everybody down the week before Easter. Only some people misread the letter and came a week early. We had 60 people to trial run service. Five of them gave their lives to Christ. I want to say, "No, you can't get saved until next week. I'm sorry. Okay, come back next week." But we let them in anyway. And on Easter Sunday, 205 people showed up at the first official service of Saddleback Church. We had really hit our target. There weren't more than about 5 traditional Christians in the group. And I got up and I said, "Let's open our Bibles." Nobody had a Bible. I said, "Let's sing these songs." Nobody knew the songs. I said, "Let's pray." You know, I'm going, this is a different kind of church. And in the first 10 weeks, 80 people gave their lives to Christ and Saddleback Church was born. So this morning, we're going to look at why you need a church family as a second session. Now, the first session we talked last week about God has 5 purposes for your life. That's a big idea. But let me give you an even bigger one, and it's this. You cannot fulfill those 5 purposes on your own. It is impossible. Life is not a solo act. You were created for community. You need a church family. The only way you can fulfill God's 5 purposes in your life is you need other people in your life who are giving you spiritual input.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. Again, that's PastorRick.com or just text the word daily to 99000. Again, the word daily to 99000. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
It's no secret that the spiritual and moral foundation that built our country is crumbling at the core. Our nation is deteriorating, and many people are without hope. We need a dramatic awakening in our nation to save our people and restore them to spiritual health. If you share this burden, we would deeply appreciate your support in taking Pastor Rick's Daily Hope broadcast to hopeless and hurting people across our country and around the globe. That's why we want to invite you to work shoulder to shoulder with us in bringing our nation back from the brink by investing monthly as a partner in hope. Your sustained monthly support will help us continue to broadcast the life-transforming message of the gospel across our nation, on the air and online. And to say thanks, when you give to this broadcast ministry, Rick has asked us to send you a copy of the hardback gift edition of his devotional book, daily inspiration for the purpose-driven life. With gold inlay on the cover and 311 beautifully weighted pages, this artfully crafted book is perfect for your loved ones or your friends who want to deepen their understanding of God's Word. You will receive this beautifully crafted book with your gift today. And those who become Partners in Hope will get a signed copy from Pastor Rick. If you feel led to give or become a Partner in Hope, please let us know by calling 800-600-5004. That's 1-800-600-5004 today. Or by visiting PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, winner of the 2016 NRB Billy Graham Award for Excellence in Christian Communications. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
Life is not a solo act. You were created for community. You need a church family. The only way you can fulfill God's five purposes in your life is you need other people in your life who are giving you spiritual input. And so there are actually five specific benefits. And if you'll write these down, if you open it up, number one, the first benefit is the church helps me center my life around God. It helps me center my life around God. God didn't put you on earth to live a self-centered life. His purpose is for you to build your life with Him at the core. We talked about this last week. You were planned for God's pleasure. He made you to love you, and He wants you to love Him back. So God says, I want to be the hub of your heart. I want to be the focus of your attention. I want to be the center of your life. I want to be the axis of your existence. And the Bible says this, Christ's love has the first and last word in everything we do. And our firm decision is to work from this focused center. Now, how can you tell when Christ is at the center of your life? God's at the center of your life. Well, I told you last week, you stop worrying. The next verse says this, it's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Now, there's a word for this, and you might write it down. It's the word worship. Whenever you focus your life on God, that's called worship. Whenever you center your life on God, a focused center, that is called worship. And worship is the antidote to worry. If you want to worry less, worship more. Because if you worship less, you're going to worry more. Now, when are we supposed to worship? Well, notice what the Bible says. You have 6 days to do your work, but the seventh day of each week is holy because it belongs to me. No matter where you live, you must rest, hear that, workaholics, and come together for worship. God says, once a week, I want you to come together for worship to refocus, to recalibrate, to recenter your life on me. Now, where are we supposed to do it? Well, look at the next verse. The Bible tells us in Acts that they worship together regularly at the temple courts. Now, notice it's plural there, courts. Why is it plural? Because they had too many members to meet in one spot. The Jerusalem church had 100,000 members, and they couldn't put them all in one place, so they spread them out in different courts because they ran out of space. Courts around the temple. The purpose of worship is to celebrate. Notice this verse. The Bible says we celebrate as we worship you. Worship is to be not a funeral, but a festival. It's a celebration of God. So as we begin today, I want us to celebrate this place that God has given us to worship. So a church helps me center my life around God because I'm planned for His pleasure. Number two, a church not only helps me center on God, it helps me connect with other believers. That's the second purpose, to connect with other believers. God did not put you on this earth to live an isolated, insulated kind of life. Remember, we talked in the first session that you're formed for God's family. And while you're here on earth, God wants you to learn to love other people, and He wants you to practice, particularly, loving others in His family. The Bible says this, Christ makes us one body and individuals who are connected to each other. Circle that word, connected. There's a connection here. Once you become a child of God, you become my brother or sister. Now, he says, what is this body? The next verse says, the body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of His body. But as a chopped off finger, a cut off toe, it wouldn't amount to much. He's saying, you know what? Your spiritual life does not amount to nothing if it's disconnected from the family of God. If I cut off this finger, it's not only not going to grow, it's not going to live. I have to be connected to the body. As I said earlier, life is not a solo act. God wired us to be created for community. We need each other. The California Department of Mental Health did a study, and they discovered that if you isolate yourself from others and you don't develop close friendships like in a small group, you are 3 times more likely to die of an early death. You're 4 times more likely to suffer emotional burnout. You're 5 times more likely to be clinically depressed, and you're 10 times more likely to be hospitalized for an emotional or mental disorder. So for your own mental health and the safety of others, get in a group. How many times do I have to say it? Get in a group. The Bible says this in 1 John, the person who loves God must also love other believers. Now, the Bible has a word for this, too. It's called fellowship. You might write that down. Fellowship is simply connecting with other believers. Fellowship, connecting with other believers. And the Bible says this, be devoted to each other like a loving family. The Bible says you're members of God's very own family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. These are the first 2 spiritual commitments of life. First, commitment to Christ. Last week, over 4,000 people did that here at Saddleback Church. You commit your life to Christ. Then second, you commit yourself to Christ's family, to us. Membership is a commitment to other believers. It's saying, that's going to be my home. Now, there are lots of good churches. Just choose one and say, that's going to be my spiritual home, and I'm going to stick with it. That's where I'll share and be shared with, I'll give and be given to, I'll serve and be served with. That's going to be my spiritual family. You just don't hop around from place to place. So you choose to belong, and the second thing you do is you identify yourself through baptism. You identify yourself and show your commitment. The Bible says this, this is what we proclaimed in word and action when we were baptized. Each of us is now a part of his resurrection body. Next verse says, that's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we're lowered into the water, it's like the burial of Jesus. And when we're raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. So when we baptize a person, Jesus was buried in the tomb 3 days. So we take a person, we put them under the water, leave them there 3 days, bring them back up, and if they're still alive, they get to join our church. If you haven't been baptized, what are you waiting on? Now, the fact is, fellowship is a proof of your salvation. Notice this verse. Jesus said, your strong love for each other will prove to the world that you are my disciples. You know, the real secret of Saddleback's growth is the love that's in this place. Because every week, all of our members spread out into thousands of small groups, thousands of them, in 83 different cities, and in those small groups, love is shown, friendships are built, prayers are answered, needs are met, cares are taken care of. It is the church taking care of itself. That's fellowship. We worship in a large group, we fellowship in a small group. And years ago, when Kay was going through a terrible illness, it was a prolonged illness, had to be hospitalized, and this church rallied around our family in a way that I could have never imagined, with just life-saving support. My church family helps me center my life on God on a regular basis. It helps me connect with other believers on a regular basis. Number 3, it helps me cultivate spiritual maturity.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, you can go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Pastor Rick will be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. It's no secret that the spiritual and moral foundation that built our country is crumbling at the core. Our nation is deteriorating, and many people are without hope. We need a dramatic awakening in our nation to save our people and restore them to spiritual health only found in the hope of Jesus. If you share this passion, we would deeply appreciate your support in taking Pastor Rick's Daily Hope broadcast to hopeless and hurting people across the country and around the globe. You can help by investing monthly as a partner in Hope. Your sustained monthly support will help us continue to broadcast the life-transforming message of the gospel across our nation, on the air, and online. And to say thanks when you give your gift this month, Rick has asked us to send you a copy of the hardback gift edition of his devotional book, Daily Inspiration for the Purpose-Driven Life, with gold inlay on the cover and 311 beautifully weighted pages. This artfully crafted book is perfect for your loved ones or friends who want to deepen their understanding of God's Word. You'll receive this beautifully crafted book with your gift today. And those who become partners in Hope will get a signed copy from Pastor Rick. Here's Rick to tell us more.
Did you know that the Bible promises that wherever God sends His Word out, it will always produce results? It's a promise. It's a promise in Isaiah 55:11, where God says, "When I send my word out, it always produces fruit. It always accomplishes what I want it to, and it prospers everywhere I send it." That's in the Living Bible. I love that passage, and this is why we do what we do here at Daily Hope. We're constantly sending out God's word to give hope to people who have no hope, and to tell them about the love and the hope of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, we couldn't do this without your support. It's your prayers. It's your financial support that helps God send His word across the country and all around the world through Daily Hope broadcasts. You know, God has really blessed this ministry, and we say to Him be the glory, but we still have many more people to reach. There are over 7 billion people in the world, and every one of them needs to know Jesus Christ. Many of them have never even heard the name of Jesus. And so this is our faith goal. You know, we started Daily Hope Ministry because we want to reach what we call the unreached, unengaged people groups. That's the about 3,000 remaining tribes in the world that have no Bible, no believer, and no body of Christ. And there's still about 3,000 tribes where the name of Jesus has not been proclaimed. How do we get there? By taking this broadcast to what we call near neighbors and encouraging them to then go in and reach those people, we hope to one day finish and help complete the Great Commission as doing our part with everybody else who's doing their part to follow the command of Christ. As we tell others about the love of Jesus, God helps us to trust Him even more. And of course, the Bible says, the more you help others, the more God blesses you. And so thank you for your gifts. I know that God is blessing you and will continue to bless you as you bless others. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Just want you to know that I love you. I thank God for you. I care for you. And I'm praying for you. God bless you.
If you feel led to become a partner in Hope, please let us know by visiting PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com, or just text the word DAILY to 99000. That's the word DAILY to 99000. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support. Here's Pastor Rick Warren.
You know, I just want to take a quick second to say thank you. Thank you for listening, for sharing this broadcast, and for your faithful prayers, especially your financial support. God is using you in a mighty way to get the message of hope out to a world that's desperately in need of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
When you give to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope broadcast, you're supporting the program that received the Billy Graham Award for Excellence in Christian Communications in 2016. This prestigious award was presented to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope by the National Religious Broadcasters, which is the association for all Christian communicators, including film, radio, television, and digital media all around the world. So we are humbled and honored that our peers in broadcast ministry have selected Daily Hope for this award. Award. We're also honored to be associated with the great legacy of Billy Graham. Most of all, we thank you so much for making it possible. Without you, this broadcast would have never happened.